Moving along in our series on the devil's fiery darts, we're going to look tonight at the dart of greed. Now, as I first introduced this, I said that some of the things that we will cover will be emotions, and some of them will be thought processes. Greed is more of a lifestyle and thought process than really anything else. Greed is not necessarily a feeling. It is a desire, and it can be a habit as well. It's something that kicks in and sets in. I remember distinctly, we would have for the residents at our community, food, Christmas party, summer picnic, that sort of thing. And there would be people that would come and they would eat the food and they would partake in the games and they would participate in the free raffle because we would do that. You show up, you're a resident, you give me your resident number, I'll give you a raffle ticket. We'll just kind of call off things. We weren't raising money. It wasn't gambling. It was just we were giving out prizes and that's how we decided who got what. And they had a good time and they would go home. Then you would have people that would show up with Tupperware containers. You know these people. Now, for when we do food, we're a Baptist church. We buy the containers for people. We thrive on not having food left over on a Monday morning. We're not talking about that here in church. Please take the food home. But in that particular case, we would have pizza, and we would buy enough pizza that we thought would feed the entire community. But there would be people that would become prepared to take more than just what they needed. They had in their hearts a desire to have more than the natural order. Now, greed used to be a very straightforward thing to talk about. When we would say greed, we would all understand what it is. It used to be having or wanting so much that it is a harm to you or others. That used to be what greed was, where your desire for things overrid good sense to the point where it was either causing you trouble or was causing trouble to others. Nowadays, greed is just having stuff, and I don't know how that happened. Right? You see these little articles written by millennials and people younger than that all the time. If you've got $1 million in the bank, you're disgusting. If you've got your own home, you're disgusting. It used to be having stuff wasn't a problem. And the Bible's not against having stuff. Not only should we have stuff, but we should be good stewards of the things we have. So, for instance, let's say you save money all of your life and you invest in proper things and your money grows and you go into retirement and you have a decent, working, comfortable retirement. That's not greed. That's stewardship, right? If somebody sits there like, well, I behaved myself. I didn't buy everything I saw at the store, and I didn't blow it all doing this or that. That's not greed. But by today's definition, if you have anything, you're greedy. Well, we're not looking at today's definition. We're looking at the biblical definition of greed. Greed is as very much a lifestyle and thought process as anything can be. Obesity, hoarding, theft are plagues on every society on the planet. To a Christian, it can be a fast track to disobedience and even failure in the Christian walk when greed has overtaken your life. Again, greed being your want exceeding good sense. Right? If we go to the store and I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 because Danielle won't let Melody have ice cream. So when mommy's around, Melody doesn't have ice cream. Kidding. Mostly. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and I get 5 ice creams and all the boys look at that and they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and somebody takes 2. That's greedy. Can we agree on that? We know exactly what we are about. You took something that belongs to somebody else. Again, divorcing the common idea of greed, where I did something smart, I reap the benefits of it, you did something dumb, you didn't, right? The ant is selfish because the grasshopper didn't prepare, is what we're doing here, right? So we don't want that definition. We're talking about the grasshopper stealing from the ant. We're talking the definition of socialism being greedy. Socialism is greedy. That's what it is. And we don't want that kind of lifestyle where our wants exceed good sense. At least it shouldn't. 1 Kings chapter 21 gives us this very important story. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Now, up until this point, Ahab's fine. It is perfectly okay to engage in some real estate swapping. Hey, listen, I want that for its location. I'm going to put herbs in it. You need herbs to cook and for medicinal reasons. There was nothing wrong with what Ahab wanted up until this point. Right now, he asks Naboth, and he goes, "You know what? This is an inheritance. This is a family heirloom. This is very precious to my family. So no. This is all perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with engaging in real estate transactions. There is nothing wrong with extending your land to better fit your interests. Again, that's stewardship. The sin comes in what happens next. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Everything was grown up. Everything was adult behavior until someone went to bed pouting. This is a grown man. He would sell the land to me. Ahab, just have some bread. No. And he's laying in his bed. Now, forgive me for getting dramatic about it, but in my head, this is how it plays out. I see a temper tantrum. Now, how do we establish that greed is the problem? Greed was not in buying more land. That's stewardship. Greed was not in offering a fair price or an uneven exchange. Hey, I'll give you a better land for what you're doing in exchange. This is all fine. It is the heart of the matter that establishes that greed had taken Ahab's heart. Now, Ahab was by far one of the most wicked kings we talk about in the Old Testament, possibly even in all of history. He either turned to Baal or the corrupt thinking of his wife to make all of his decisions. And as we can see, he does not have a copious amount of maturity in his attitude. In order for us to look at the barbs of greed, we've got to decide what establishes what's greedy and what's not greedy. Again, 2021, if you've got money in the bank, how dare you? If you own a business, how dare you? If you are a church with money in the bank, you're the scum of the earth, right? It's just how they see things. If you have, you're greedy, but that's not it. The truth of the matter is it boils down to something much simpler, right? Why do you want the thing? Right? Does the thing that you want, does it fit a need? Right? I'm sitting there and I'm leaving the church and I go, you know what I'm hungry for? I'm hungry for this, right? And you know, for lunch today, the boys had hot dogs and mac and cheese. And I thought that was, remember when you were a kid, wasn't that just the greatest? That's still pretty good. Hot dogs, mac and cheese. I put the chili on the hot dog. I put the chili on the mac and cheese. Oh, it's good. Ever since I was a kid, we got married. Danielle saw me do that. She goes, what are you doing? I go, we're not talking about it. Just try it. Yes, just try. This isn't me putting a French fry in a Frosty, you freaks. This is something good. This is an American dish. Right? We have a desire. I want this. Do you have it in the cupboard? Yeah. Do you have it within your relative means without going into debt to have it? Yeah. Does it satisfy a need? Yes. Tummy hungry. Have some hot dogs, kids. It satisfies a need. That's a want that makes sense. right? I think about the men's fellowship. What do I want to bring to it? It satisfies a need. I bring it. People eat it. It's a wonderful thing. So does it satisfy a need? Does it fit some kind of requirement that I have? Now, we could say that about a lot of stuff. You know, I need a car, so I go out and I buy a $500,000 Tesla. I don't know how much they cost, but probably roughly around there. So I go out and I buy this $500,000 car. Whoa, let's ask some more questions then. Should you want it? Should you want it? We would talk to some people, and when I worked at McDonald's and I was, you know, scrubbing the floors and fixing the fryers, one day I was coming out with a big old vat of oil for us to put into the reclaimer. And this kid came rolling up in a brand new Mustang. This car was beautiful. It had fun lights. It could probably go to Mars, right? It was just an amazing looking car. And he was pulling into the McDonald's. Why? For his work shift. How did he get it? His mommy and daddy bought it for him. Okay. And you look at that, you go, is this really what we should be doing, right? Should I want $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 car when I'm working at McDonald's? No, there are much more intellectual uses for money at that point, right? I met some people, they work a part-time job, and they want, a trip to Disneyland. You should want a trip to work. You're working part-time. You don't really make a lot of money. Your need is money, but what you want is to spend it. Again, we look back at the basic principles of stewardship. If I am having to make decisions that go against good stewardship practices, I shouldn't want that thing right now. Oh, I can eye it from a distance, but wanting it is really not something I ought to be looking at. It goes against what God has told us to do. It goes against what would be good practice for me to do. And just because I want it doesn't mean I should have it. Amen? That's a good thought for all of us. There was this lady that we had that I used to work with. She was what you would call a hoarder. You know what a hoarder is? When you got too much stuff. And you couldn't get into her house. You couldn't repair anything. But you know what she was always getting every day? 4 to 5 packages every day. She would come in. She'd get on that QVC. She loved the QVC. Half her retirement went to QVC. And just get the garbage, get the garbage, get the garbage. And you know what she would do? She would buy stuff. And then she would give it away. Why? Because she ran out of room to buy stuff. It was kind of a heartbreaking thing. And eventually when these people pass away, I've been there, your stuff swallows you up. When I tell you that I've been in a home and it took them almost 20 minutes to find the body, it should tell you what we have in this society where we buy and we buy and we buy and we buy. Right, you're 2 months behind on your rent. You're about to foreclose on your mortgage. Your car needs X amount of repairs. You've got no business on Amazon right now. You've got no business on QVC. You're wanting something you should not want. It is something that, as we would point out for my next point, someone is going to be hurt by me having this. Not jealous, actually harmed. Proverbs 1 verse 17 clarifies this for me in saying, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. This is talking about what we're about to read with Ahab, where the life of a person means nothing to them. I hope I'm not making anybody uncomfortable. We've got a smart church. We've got a wise church, I believe. So I do feel comfortable talking about this. The moratoriums on the evictions are coming up. And as you know, I'm quite passionate about this. I firmly believe that instead of putting a moratorium on it, there should have been some kind of, I can prove that I lost my job because of COVID and I get rental assistance. What we've created now is a vacuum that is going to hurt the economy, much like what we saw in 2008 with the housing bubble. Remember that debacle where all of a sudden all of these bad mortgages we put out there came back to bite the banking system and we almost lost our economy on it. we're about, the moment this gets to where people who own apartments don't get money, but they can evict people anyway, we're going to head to very much the same kind of collapse. And we're not as strong as we were back in 2008. We've got some huge dents and dings in the economy, right? So these people, and I'll say this, and I know it sounds harsh and judgmental, but I've been there, right? I've handed people over big screen televisions days after stimulus checks went out, and they owed me 4 months back rent. So I know this. Please trust me on this. People had money, but because of the moratorium, put it in their pocket. And that, I did the job. I'm qualified to say that this is exactly what happened. We had that lady who went a full year and 2 months, didn't pay rent, only for us to find out she died 3 months prior, and her relatives that spent all of her money while she was alive were living in the apartment pretending to be her, sending emails in to the office. And I'm like, wow, I'm really glad I called to check in today, because you don't want to hear that sort of thing. But man, that was a resolution that I was waiting on. I came here with no resolution on that, having no idea what was going to happen there. And that was a wild ending. But that's what people do. They don't care about the long-term cost of things. They care about what hits my belly and my back and my entertainment center right now. And they don't care that it's going to cause a bunch of these apartment communities to collapse. Now, there is a program for helping people in housing run by the HOA or somebody within the state that gives federal funding. We call it Section 8 or income-based housing, and there's different programs that help people out. There are people who work jobs and they don't get paid a lot, and it helps them be able to get into apartments. It is a good program. It is the most abused social program in our country. Why? Because I would much rather buy a $300 pair of Nikes and pay $5 in rent. Well, what does that what happens there? The government has tight control over certain things, which means instead of buying the things that matter, you buy the dumb things. So let's say that this church was a Section 8 property, and I were to sit there and say, okay, in my head, I'd like to replace the chimney. I'd like to replace this damage that we've got in the ceiling. And the government would come in, do an inspection, and say, all right, you've got X amount of dollars to replace all of your electrical outlets. And that's how that works. They decide what you can buy. Well, we don't have the money to give you that, but we'll give you money for this. And because it's a grant, you've got to spend it the way we tell you to. And next year when we come back for inspections, or next month when we come back for inspections, we want to see those installed. What is about to happen is every apartment community that's about to default on their mortgages are going to get snapped up by Joe Biden's administration. The government will own those, very much the same as England runs their, they call them council houses, where you're renting it from the government. That's kind of the kind of program they're looking to set up here. When businesses lose their property and the government takes it over, you look to see almost everyone that's taken over look exactly like a Section 8 property, with crime and violence and break-ins and all those problems. Why? Because the government doesn't run things well. They were never meant to do that, right? So they don't care that it's going to hurt a business. They don't care what's going to happen in the long run. I just care about taking my stimulus check, going on down and buying a brand new whatever. And that's what we're seeing in this country, where a lot of people who have the ability are looking at the people with wisdom going, well, how dare you? They're enjoying their summer while farmers are working. Then when comes the winter and you've got the ability to retire with food in your belly, well, how nice it must be to have white privilege is kind of the story that we see here. There are some things that they're perfectly okay with hurting others as long as they get their fill. Again, using that smaller illustration, if I've got 5 ice creams, 5 people in my family, and Xander takes 2 of them. You don't care that it's going to hurt somebody else in the long run as long as you feel satisfied now. Socialism at its heart, right? I don't want to put in the work as the doctor down the street, as the dentist down the street, but I want the same money the dentist down the street makes, and I don't care if it hurts the country, I don't care if it hurts the dentist, I care about what happens to my bank account. Right? That's the kind of greed we're seeing today, where we exploit those with store, money in store, food in store, objects in store. We exploit them for those that waste. We want to be careful of that kind of a greed. Also, the other thing we want to think about this, as far as who will get hurt, will it hurt you? Right? You go out there and you, oh, Tesla's got a brand new car and the iPhone's got a brand new version out, and I don't have much in the bank, but I know that I want these things, and I'm going to trade my mortgage money, my kids' college fund, whatever. I'm going to take money that should be going to useful things, and I'm going to blow it on something that I'm going to have to replace in 6 months. Right? That'll hurt you. Greed is wanting things despite what it will do. how about this one? Will it cause you to have too much of a thing? Right? Now, how do I decide what too much is? Right? Now, when it comes down to money, I've got no idea of knowing what the future may hold. How do I plan for my investment versus how do I plan for what I'm going to give the church in my offering plate? Now, listen, when it comes down to the Lord, give as well as you can. But when it comes down, there's really no way. What happens with inflation? What happens with this? Be as wise and a good steward as you possibly can. That's my advice. But how about this when it comes down to stuff? I knew somebody, they went out and they bought an Xbox and they got a hold of another Xbox, so they bought another Xbox. That's a little video game console, costs about $1 billion or something like that, and you can't find them. Why do you need two for? So I can say I have two. Now, can I hit a little closer to home for some of us? Do you need two plates of food? Do you need that second trip up there? Maybe not. Right? Should I want this? Is it going to hurt me? You know what? It kind of does. We were kind of talking about different diets. Some of y'all doing the intermittent fasting diet. I gave that a try. I just finished my second week of it. I feel good. I came into this. I don't mind telling you. Please don't judge me in any particular way. I have high blood pressure. Look at me. You probably know that. I went on the diet. My blood pressure was 180. Over, I think it was something in the low hundreds. That's high for a man my age. That's, you're going to die for a man my age. I've been on medications off and on since I was 18. I'm now normal. You know what that tells me? You kill yourself with food. Now, not just here, and not just here, but every system is affected by greed, right? I got to the point where I was up on the roof and I was down on my knees and I was bent over doing stuff. I was all over the place. I felt good. I haven't lost a ton of weight, but my body feels better. Why? Because I haven't put the amount that I've normally done. I'm hurting myself in a particular way. Now, we've got to be honest about what we're bringing in. Again, I call to attention those hoarders in the world that have stuff upon stuff upon stuff upon stuff upon stuff. You don't need that, right? There'd be people that would call us because their stuff had fallen over the door and they couldn't get out. No, think about that. Stuff, the stuff you own has collapsed over the door and you can't get out. So you're calling a bunch of strangers to come in, see your house like that and get you out. Not a very good moment for you. You don't feel good about yourself in that. Now again, we've got kids, we've got clutter. And we had clutter before we had kids, you know? And I feel like every time we move, it's my opportunity to throw stuff out. We ought to move more often. Yeah, we'll find some more rental. We'll move up and down the street just to keep our stuff in check. Why not? Because I do. I just get sick of stuff. What is that? What was that? It was a trophy from first grade. Get it out of here. I kind of get that attitude about it. But some folks, it's stuff, 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 food, food, food. And we don't care that it's hurting us. We don't care that we now have too much of a thing. Because we don't process that we could have too much of a certain thing. Right? If you're sitting there and you've got 7 shampoo bottles in your shower, that's too much of a thing. Right? Now, some of y'all looking at me, I understand you got to primp, you got to preem, you got to take care of yourself. Right, Brother Mike? I don't know how many soaps you need to have, but I get it. But you get what I'm saying. Sometimes you have too much of a certain thing. And that's where we need to be honest, that I only have that thing because I have a desire to have more. You don't need more. I just want it. Why? Yeah, I just want it. Now, again, there are certain things that we do need based off of good stewardship. Having two cars, if you've got two drivers, is not greedy. Having enough food or things in store just in case things go bad. We've all learned over the last year that it's good for you to have some things in store and in stock and backed up. And again, that's stewardship versus, ooh, it's pretty. Let me have four of them. There's a line. Again, can it go to serve a purpose, or is it an impulse purchase or an impulse get that's not necessary? In Flushing, they've got a thing on Facebook called Flushing Freebies, where if you don't want something in your house, you just put it on there and people say they want it. You know what I noticed on that page? It's the same five people. And as a landlord, I'm just trained to look at that going, oh, you've got stuff. It would be the same thing when I'd see people almost every other day for packages in the office. Oh, no. You got too much stuff in your house. All right, so do we have too much? And is it something that's going to be a problem? Now, Ahab, as we turn back to the scriptures, he's moping. He's in his house and, oh, give me the land. Verse 5, the grown-up shows up. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth. And he kind of gives her the rundown there. Verse 7. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So she wrote the letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. This is all illegal, by the way. And sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Well, the question also, so the first question I would have about this is, why do you want it? My next question is, how having it or not having it makes you feel. Naboth fell apart. Jezebel felt murderous. These are bad things. Well, if I don't have that, I'm going to do this and I'm going to have that. And that's where you get some kind of very cringeworthy public behavior, right? If you ever worked fast food, you get those people that show up 10 minutes after you close and they'd be on that door. I want it. I'll eat this. Where's my sandwich? I want a sandwich. And they'll yell and they'll cuss because they feel they deserve something that they did not earn. And it gives them a certain feeling or an opinion. I was working with my roommate down in Cincinnati. We were working at a restaurant and I got to work the salad bar. And that was pretty cool. I like chopping things. I worked well with my school schedule. I go to school, get off, go over, work on the salad bar, chop the things up, put it in the bins, take it out. It was not brain surgery. This lady who we worked with would show up late. When she showed up late, she was often not intoxicated, but under the influence. And it affected everything that she did. Well, eventually, when it came down to us having to make, you know, some budget cuts and what was going on there, the boss kind of looked at us. And again, this is a nothing job. This is a no-brain job. This is a college kid job. Worked perfect for my schedule, didn't pay much, and I didn't need a lot of this going on in order to do it. He looked and he said, well, I don't need three of these beanheads, so I'll let go of the one who's always late, who's barely here, barely focuses, and has a bad attitude. He let her go. Well, on the day he let her go, she comes up to me. She says, I want to let you know that God's on my side, and I know that you played tricks and played games to get me fired and da-da-da-da-da-da, and just let us have it for 45 minutes, and she left. I'm just kind of sitting there going, you can't sick God on me when you're the one showing up like this. I go, I no doubt you're going to, and I thought about that verse, depart from me, I never knew thee. God may not be able to recognize you as one of his own if that's the way you're living and that's the way you're talking. But nonetheless, I get to work. Well, she comes back because she forgot some things she wanted to say to me. And while I was patient all day, my employer was not so patient and was not so understanding, and ended up having to call the police to get her out because she was very upset. In her mind, she deserved something she wasn't willing to work for. Right? If you're showing up and you're cutting your finger all the time because you see nine of them and you've only got one out and you see nine of them and you're cutting yourself, that's a problem. You're a liability. And I'm not trying to hurt her or make fun of her, but that's what happened. Right? How did not having that thing make you feel? It enraged me. There's a problem with your want. There's a problem with your wife. At Flat Rock, the neighbor behind us was selling some land, and he was kind of hemming and hawing on stuff. And you know what? If we got to the point to where if you were going to sell it to us, that's great. We'll take it. If you're not going to sell it to us, you know what? That's fine. We won't take it. Didn't break any backs. Didn't split the church. There was no grievances between us and the neighbor. We still waved at him as he was sitting there, both hemming and hawing. Didn't bother us at all. Because it's just a matter of doing basic things. Now, again, I get it. If we don't have what we need, it becomes a bit of a struggle. But it should never become a part of, well, if I can't get the land, I'm going to bed and crying. You understand? There's a change there. Or in Jezebel's case, or that woman that I brought up, it should not throw us into a self-righteous rage when we can't have those things. Again, we see that. We see that there is a problem there. And that's not what we want. Many of us, we've got ways to make a little bit of money on the side, whether you're selling flowers, or I know the Gunnels, they've got their peacocks, and we've got stuff that happens. You know what? That's there to supplement. That's there to make some money. Could be there as a hobby. All the different reasons why we do things like that. Those are perfectly good things. But you know what? We don't do those things and then get aggressively angry about them. At least I hope not. Right? Well, I can't believe that somebody up the road was selling what I was selling at a lower price. And da-da-da. Relax. Stewardship, right? Be wise. Use wisdom. Don't go what Jezebel did and seek to hurt other people so that you can get more. My next question, so first one is, why do you want it? How does having it or not having it make you feel? If there's a sinful reaction, there's a sinful attachment. My next one is, what are you willing to do to get it? Would you be willing to compromise your morals to get it? You're at work. There's a competition, and maybe it's a sales competition. And you know a trick that's deceptive, but nobody really gets hurt, and you know it'll help you to win. The word that caught me there, deceptive. God doesn't want me to do it. I don't do it. I'm not willing to compromise to get what I should not have. If I can't get it by honoring God, God doesn't want me to have it. Would you be willing not so much to compromise, but would I be willing to outright sin in order to get it? To lie, to cheat, to misrepresent things, to skip church, to do this, to do that, in order to get the things I believe I deserve, right? You know what? If I go to church maybe five times out of the year, that's great. But you know what? I got a big old boat, and I got a big old yard, and I got a big old cow. I don't know. I've got all this stuff. But I don't have a lot going on spiritually. That's a problem. We've got sin. In Jezebel's case, she didn't mind murder to get what she wanted. Didn't bother her. And you know what? I talk about some national greed today. You know the majority of people who get abortions, you know why they say it? Because they don't want it to interrupt their lives. I can't afford it. I need to go out and buy my Nike shoes. I need to do this. I need to do that. We're willing to commit murder as a nation so that we can have more. What a farce. What a joke. When what we want can be so easily achieved by good stewardship and wisdom, there's no wiggle room for sin. There's no reason for it. Right? How many of us have been wise with what we have done financially, and the Lord's blessed that exponentially? That's how that works. Right? All we've got to do is abide by basic biblical principles, and we don't have to worry about that stuff. There will be times where there's blessings. There will be times where things are a little bit lean. But nonetheless, God will take care of us if we abide by His teachings. See, greed has a particular kind of poison. Greed, very first and foremost, will corrupt the mind. It'll make us more selfish by nature. Let's pick on food because that seems safe, right? You start off and you get two cookies. All right, two cookies is bueno. I have two cookies, that's fine. And after a while, you're always grabbing two cookies, then three cookies, then four. It corrupts the mind because I'm comfortable with this much and I can have this much. Where's sister? You saw me with that yogurt. I was looking at that yogurt and you made me look at the new, and I'm not going to forgive you for that. Looked in the back, says 21 grams of sugar. Now you divide 21 by 4. That's how many teaspoons of sugar went into a yogurt that's about the size of a kid's milk jug. A little bottle of Yoo-hoo sized yogurt. 21 grams per serving, 2.5 servings in the jar. That's what? 10 plus teaspoons of sugar. Just. I used to drink that stuff as often as I could get it. You know, think about that. And I guarantee you this, after going so long without it, I take a sip of it. Whoo! It's going to be like that Kool-Aid we talked about during Sunday school this morning. Just, whoo! We're going to the moon today. It changes things. The more of a thing that I have that's harmful, the more deadened I become to it. Right? It doesn't have the effect. What do drug users experience? I take a little bit, the next time I need to take more to establish the same. And after a while, you're operating at a deficit where you're smoking, drinking, shooting heroin, whatever you've got to do, just to feel normal throughout the day. And then you get to the point where a lot of them are stuck, where they've got to take it just to be out of the withdrawal symptoms. They never feel normal. They're just trying to catch up with the withdrawals. And that works with food, drugs, entertainment. You can really wreck your mind. Remember back when grandma and grandpa and mom and dad used to tell you that if you stare at the TV too long, your brain would turn to mush? Look at our society. Go back, tell grandma she was right. Hey, Grandma, you're absolutely right about that. We got a bunch of mush brains running the country right now. One of them can't even get a sentence. Notice how I stopped making Joe Biden jokes? It's not good to make fun of the mentally unsound. I do. I went from praying for that man to seriously praying that somebody help that man. That is getting scary to hear him talk. But it corrupts the mind. We start off by being selfish. Where, you know, if it's a tie, it goes to me, to being self-centered, to where I stop caring about you. Isaiah 56:11 gives us this conversation. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain from his quarter. It's all about them. They are self-focused. Isaiah 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Folks, that's the devil talking. And that's every American and every blue-blooded person on this earth today. I will be the most interesting. I will be the Most High. I'll get out there on social media and I will have the most followers. And everyone will listen to me and everyone will care. It doesn't matter if my brain can't put my fingers together. I will be the president of this country. And it is pervaded our entire culture, our entire planet, this idea of I will ascend, this devilism. Of where I'm the top dog, you got to look after number one. Right? Who said? I can't remember who's. You got to look after number one. You're not number one. Isn't that the illustration that God gave us? You put God first, then others, then yourself. You know what the beautiful thing about that is? If I put others first and you put others first, I'm covered. And if I've got proper priorities in my heart, God's going to bless. He's going to take care of me. Somebody wrongs me, he's going to step in and take care of that, as he always has. So it corrupts the mind. It also corrupts the heart. Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. It affects the way you perceive other people. One, it'll make you more unfeeling towards others. I did this one time and it bothered me a little bit. I stopped off and I got lunch. And I had a little smoothie and I had a sandwich. And I was going back to work and I pulled up to a stoplight and I looked out and guess who I saw? One of those homeless people with a sign that says hungry. And here I am with about $8 worth of food. I was drinking on the shake too, which was bad. I just kind of pull up and I make eye contact with the guy. you feel miserable. I hope I never get to the point, and I know that most of them are shysters, I get it. But we should never be unfeeling towards other people. We should never be disconnected. We should always have the same mercy and compassion that Jesus Christ had. And these people that we see today, this doctrine of greed that is socialism, they don't care who loses their job, loses their home, loses their retirement. They just want to have a piece of something they never worked for. And that's the heart of it. Right? When you're sitting there saying, all right, well, let's throw the rich in prison to divvy up their money. Cool, let's start with the Catholic Church. Give us about 150 years. We break that bank open. Give us about 150 years of us all living high on the hog. They got money, folks. But you know, we should, and that's their proposal. We take the rich, we remove half of their money from them, pour it into the social economy where we're giving people money so you could stay at home for an infinite amount of times and not pay your rent for an infinite amount of time and enjoy all that. That's their plan, to literally rob people. Now, I'm not talking about we take it out in taxes. We're talking about getting into their stuff, pulling it back out and dividing it out. That's theft, by the way. And that's what they want. They don't care that it'll hurt others. They're no longer attached to that. They're happy with themselves. I read another article about one of those Black Lives Matter activists, one of the top dogs in the company, just bought himself a $2 million apartment. Well, so glad all that money is going to help people. Right, all those schools that are barely functioning, all those kids that are using books their grandmas used to use. Right, I'm so glad that we're really putting some out. No, they don't care about those people. They don't care about their own people. What do they care about? Me, my money, what I get out of it. It corrupts the heart. Not only do we become unfeeling towards others, but we stop listening to the Lord when greediness hits in. Hey, you know, obey me in this way. Yeah, you know what, though? I was going to do this. I was going to go down. I was going to take care of my flesh here, and I was going to lift up my flesh over there, and I was going to give pleasure to my flesh over here. And we don't listen anymore because we're all caught up in this right here. We literally do that where I'm taking care of number one. Number one's me. I win. It also corrupts the body. We've tiptoed around this, or danced on it, whatever you want to call it, but it corrupts the body. The first thing that we do when we think about how greed corrupts the body, it fattens it. Now let's look at some jokes here. This is how you know greed has corrupted your body. When the doctor tells you your weight would be perfect for a man 17 foot tall. Greed's corrupted your body when you are responsible for a slight but measurable shift in the earth's axis. Greed is taking your body when you sit down in your easy boy and the paramedics need to use the jaws of life to get you out of it. When you had mashed potatoes for dinner and it caused a famine in Ireland. When you receive a letter from the Sumo Wrestler Association saying you pre-qualify. When in testing your blood, you prick your finger and nothing but gravy comes out. When you consider gluttony your patriotic duty. When representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame call twice. That's how you know. There's problems there. Right? When we corrupt our body through greed, whether it's and I'll even put it like this. You know, some people, they get out of hand with this elective surgery stuff, this different stuff that they'll put on their face. You ever see it go too far? And you look at somebody and you go, wow, hey, it's been a long time since I've seen you. Almost didn't recognize you there as a human. Greed. I want all the youthful looks, so I'm okay looking like something from a sci-fi movie. I want all of this. I want all of that, so I'm okay with these things. No. If we're perverting our body, there's a problem. Right? If I'm overfeeding it, if I'm putting too much plastic inside of it, whatever, don't do those things. It's greedy, it's self-serving, it's unnecessary. Right? And it also turns your body into a liar. You ever experienced that? You'll get up, you'll eat, and you'll think, well, you know what? I'm still hungry. Your body's lying to you. It's not. Stop it. And many people, you know, we joke about that, but that is a serious issue for certain people, where they look in the mirror and they're at a healthy weight, but all they see is overweightedness. Why? Because they've given themselves into the greed of wanting to look a particular way, and it's distorted their mind. It's played with their flesh. They've given too much room for their flesh, and they see it wrong. Right? We start to misunderstand certain things. There would be many people, and I don't recommend it, but every now and then I'll watch clips from that TV show, My 600-Pound Life. There'll be people 700 pounds. They'll be going for 2 hours in the car. I'm hungry. We just ate. I'm hungry. Their bodies are lying to them. Right? How about lazy people? You slept for 12 hours. Yeah, I'm still tired. Your body's lying. You've fed it so much with sleep, it's lying to you. Now, with medical problems set aside, we all have medical issues, make you feel tired when you're not. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about some lazy teenagers who've slept half the day, and because they've slept half the day, they want more sleep. No, it doesn't work that way. So it'll distort and change the body. Well, how do I fix this, right? We're running out of time. How do I fix the problem with my greed? Number one, you need to practice contentment. Look at what you have and be happy. Now, does that mean I never get more? No. All right, how do I put this? Well, let's put this like this. You know what? If I go home and I've got a full dresser and everything's working well, I don't need to go to the store and buy 5 pairs of whatever. Right now, unless you're looking at it, go, all right, it's getting shabby. It's not good. Let's throw it away, and then I'll get 5. That makes sense to me. But when you're just going to the store because it's Tuesday and you've got 3 hours free, so I'm going to go blow a bunch of money, that's not necessary. Look at what you have. Be content. Now, ladies, don't look at me angry. I'm talking about the men when they go to the sporting goods store too. Right? If you don't need it, you don't need it. Don't pretend you do. Be content with what you have. Right? I was out there, I'll go kayak, and I see all these people with different kayaks. Right? Now, my dad's like that. He'll look at other people's stuff, and he'll go, ooh. I'll look at other people's kayaks. I go, you know what? I bet my kayak could beat their kayak. That's the kind of person I am. Right? I get content with it. I bet mine's better. Right? I bought mine at this very specific store that creates very artful and sleek kayaks. I got mine from a friend for a discount. Let's go. Let's race. Be content with what you have. Again, it doesn't mean you never buy new. It doesn't mean you never buy more. But it shouldn't be a compulsion. I got it. No. Think it out. Right? I've met some people. They said, they'll go, all right, well, I'm going to buy a camper. And they research, and they're patient, and they're calm, and they save up the money, and it makes sense for them to buy it, and they buy it. That's not greedy. That makes sense. But when you buy a camper, and you never were planning on buying a camper, that's greed. Greed made that decision. Good job. Right, Brother Dennis? What is it that they put by every cash register? What's lining every wall by the cash register? Candy. Junk magazines, random junk, gum. Why do they put that there? Is it because they think you might have forgot about M&Ms? It's called impulse buying. It's marketing. While you're sitting there waiting for so-and-so to get all of her coupons out of her little binder, right, you're sitting there looking at M&Ms going, oh, it's been a long time since I've had some M&Ms. You know what? The kids are going to know I had M&Ms. If I don't get Danielle some M&Ms, that's going to be a problem too. And that's just kind of how that goes. That's what it's designed. You weren't planning on it. It wasn't a long-term thought. It was an impulse thing. That's greed. Right? If Danielle says, hey, it's a dessert night and I go out and buy M&Ms, sense is being made. Right? That was what I was designed to do. It was what I was supposed to do. It was the designation of this trip. That's what I'm doing. You understand the difference there? It is intention versus compulsion. Right? Be content with what I have. Doesn't mean I never go out and buy dessert. It just doesn't mean that I don't buy dessert 5 times for the day. You got to put things into perspective. Be glad for what you have. The next is expressing gratitude. Hebrews 13:14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The Marquis de Lafayette was a French officer who provided invaluable assistance to George Washington and the struggling American army during the American Revolution. After the war was over, he returned to France and resumed his life as a farmer of many estates. In 1783, France was in that tumultuous time that they had during one of their many revolutions, and the harvest was a terrible one, and there were many who suffered as a result. Lafayette's farms were unaffected by the devastating crop failures. One of his workers offered what seemed to be good advice to his leader. He says, "The bad harvest has raised the price of wheat. This is the time to sell." After thinking about the hungry peasants in the surrounding villages, Lafayette disagreed and said, "No, this is the time to give." When we give, it's a sign of gratitude. Either I'm giving praise to the Lord, I'm giving more of my excess over. Again, not a government compulsive giving, but out of a heart and with a desire to serve the Lord kind of giving. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my time, I'm going to give my increase, I'm going to give my surplus to make sure that the Lord sees my thankfulness in this. Isn't it a sad thing when we realize that God has blessed us or did bless us at a point in time in our lives and we didn't recognize it? It makes you want to stop everything you're doing, get down on your knees, and thank the Lord for his provision. Give gratitude. Don't just count your blessings. Say something to the Lord about it. And that's going to change the heart. That's going to undo a lot of the damage that greed can do. Because what is greed? Greed is self-focus, self-interest, self-satisfaction. Whereas showing gratitude is an outward display of what we have. You start counting your blessings, you won't feel so bad about all the things you want, but you don't have. That's not a matter of tricking the mind. Obedience fixes a lot of problems is what we would call that. God blesses us not just for our own benefit, but also so that we can be a blessing to others and that we would show that blessing to God in how we behave and in our thanks and gratitude. The tendency to hoard or try to lift ourselves up based off of what we have is a joke in the highest form. There is certainly no shortage of people in need, and many times we have needs ourselves. In that, we should show both our ability to give and our ability to show gratitude in what we have. And we ought to praise God for it. What great riches we have in our salvation alone. How wonderful it is to know that we have full bellies, and some of us really full bellies, you know, full well-developed bellies. The Lord's blessed us in that way. All right? There are people in this world that don't have access to the food we have. Right? If you drank clean water today, I mean, we think about, we got water bottles all over this church sometimes, don't we? We'll have the kids and we'll be doing sports. They'll come in. We'll have cups half filled with water all over the place. It's great to be so blessed that clean water is just there. It's a wonderful thing. You go to some places and they're in the ditch and there's like garbage floating down here and they're getting the water out and they're boiling it and they're doing the best they can for it. We're blessed. Show that blessing. Tell the Lord how great that it is that we have those things. I do. I think even if we have something and it wasn't a greedy thing for us to get it, but we don't stop to thank God for it, I think that's greedy too. Yeah, it was fine for you to have it. Yeah, it was a blessing of the Lord that you had it, but you didn't stop to thank him. Think about those lepers. 9 went on their way. 1 came back. How greedy were those 9 lepers to not realize what was happening and go back and say thank you. We should say thank you. It's something I teach the kids, and I've heard many of the kids of our church, and we thank you. So cute when kids say thank you. Thank you. We teach them that. Why? Because there's a bunch of parents out there not teaching their kids this stuff. And driving them. Yeah, it better be like that. And they walk. About to spank somebody else's kids. But no, I like that in our church. Little kids, thank you. Older kids, thank you. All right, just showing that. We teach them that. It's a sign of respect. We ought to show God respect for the things we have. And this whole convoluted idea that society has today where to have things is greedy is wrong. It's when you have things for the wrong reasons, when you have things to excess to the point that it hurts you, that's when we're not using good stewardship and we're just using desire and the desires of the flesh to have it, that's where greed comes in, right? Let's not confuse good stewardship with that socialist greed, right? Let's be good stewards. Let's have what we have, but let's not let what we have us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,